Let's get into Hebrews chapter 13. Last week, I thought we had a sweet time talking about marriage. I see most of you are back, so that's good. Sometimes those can be some hard things, but you know, as the Word of God says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy, huh? Amen? We're going to stand together, hallelujah, for the things of God by His grace. Appreciated so much in that fifth verse, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let that be such a truth to you. Let it just so rest upon you. That's power. Like Sister Betty in her prayer talked about power. You don't realize the power that you have. And the Lord's been dealing with me again this week when Jesus Christ said, you know, there's going to be greater things in you that you're going to do than even I did. I mean, that was the Word amongst us. Hallelujah. In the flesh. You believe these things. I do. I believe what the Word of God tells me. I believe there is a mighty work that is beyond. I mean, you have to remember, Jesus Christ, you know, called Lazarus forth from the dead. Huh? Healed the people, turned the water into wine, and did all those different things. And I just amazes me that He said that greater things that you would do. That's the power that we have. It just amazes me. I am almost speechless. But I do know by the grace of God, He's given us a glimpse of that greatest work of faith that is being done in our lives, is to be in the bride of Christ. That's the greatest work. It's the mystery of the ages. What a gift, huh? What a gift. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into that seventh verse. We'll read the seventh through the ninth and then go back through. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation or their manner of life, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with different and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Beginning in the seventh verse, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The Greek word for rule is ago, which means to lead or to guide. And this verse many times is taken out of context, unfortunately, and has led many meetings and many Christians to shipwreck by having a man rule over them instead of God. The man of God, a man of God, is one that leads, points to, and always magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a man of God. By the grace of God, that is what we're here to do in each one of our lives. By His grace is to be that light, to be a light unto the world. You have a ministry. You, by the grace of God, should have a testimony. You, by the grace of God, should give forth the love of God. You're robbing yourself and you're robbing others when you do not live the new creation. It's there for us. That's who you are. Had some wonderful messages about that. Be who you are. I appreciated my daddy always telling me, said, son, be yourself. Well, who is yourself? Well, I know that I took the Lord as my Savior. And it says that I died. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't live anymore. But Christ lives in me. Amen. Oh, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith in Jesus Christ. I love Him for that. I can live a life of faith. And faith is going to come one way, by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I was speaking with a lady that helps out with our house a little bit today, and she's a sweet Christian lady, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Hasn't been to church for many, many years, but so much of the Word has been implanted in her life, and it just keeps her. The Word of God doesn't return void. It's there. And she can't get away from it. And she's in our house, and by the grace of God, she can't get away from it. It's there. And she's always kind of talking a little bit about things, and she's a funny person, and I sure appreciate her. But she was just saying, and we were visiting, how effectually the Word of God has really worked in her life. But I said, why not live the power? Why not live that power every day? You know that when, and she says, oh, I remember being in it. It's so good. She says, isn't it funny that I just don't want to be in it all the time? And I said, well, you're missing out. And she says, I know I am. She says, in the hurts that I have a lot of times, she says, I realize it's self-inflicted. I said, yeah. So pray for her too. But it's precious. The Lord's dealing with His children. He loves them. All right. But again, we follow Paul as he followed Christ. No man or woman but God has the rule over us. By the grace of God, we would follow Brother Hill as he followed Paul, as Paul followed Christ. Isn't that it? See, when people had problems with a preacher, when people had problems with Brother Hill, it's because they were looking at Brother Hill. Okay, that's it. When people have problems with brothers and sisters in Christ, truly, I'm just telling you, it's because you're looking at them. You're not looking at God. You need to do that. Now, I'm not saying that, you've heard me say that, this is not a free-for-all to Christ. It isn't. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you're one of them grace churches, huh? And kind of bring in everything and anything and everything goes. No, it doesn't. There's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But the perfect will of God is His love. And that's where it's going to begin, it's going to stay with, and it's going to end. And I know the Word of God encourages me through His Scripture is to fall in love with Him. And I understand when I fall in love with Him, He will cause me to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not something that's of me. It's not something that I'm going to have requirements in my life, accountabilities in my life. I've told you, I know of meetings where they put their sins up for everybody to see. And here's what I need to work on and pray for me, in a sense, about my sinful problems. Let me tell you something. That's between you and God. And He's the only one, by the grace of God, that's going to heal that in your life. It's an easy walk with Him. It really is. He says, my yoke is easy. Yes, there are trials. There's temptation along the way. But His burden is light. Thank you, Lord. But it's not a man. It's the faith that we follow. It's the believing that we follow. It's the assurance and the outright confidence, I was thinking, hallelujah, in God. The outright confidence in God that made me, and I know many of us here, respect and love Brother Hill so much. He had great faith. He had great love. Now, why wouldn't he have great faith by the grace of God? He had the Word of God in his life. And we can have that same Word too. We don't need to be a pastor to have that kind of Word in our life like that. I want to take the place that God wants me to take in my life. Like I say, there are many wonderful overcoming saints in that Old Testament, weren't they? Were they all preachers? I think most of them weren't. Can you imagine that? We all got hope, don't we? Huh? Amen. It was the Ruth. Hallelujah. The Esther. Praise God. David, Joseph, all of those different ones. Yeah, we had king, but they all weren't prophets or anything of that nature. And that's what God was working in their life. And hallelujah, just let Him give you the shoes that He wants you to have and stay with those shoes. Don't go putting somebody else's on. I just know when I used to wear my buddy's shoes, I'd get a blister. Really? You know what I'm saying? Be the person of God that He's made you. But the same thing goes for verses 17 and 24, and Lord willing, we'll get there. The word rule is better translated to lead. Peter in 1 Peter 5:2, he was encouraged to tell other ministers to feed the flock, to guide them, not by constraint. And I know there's many people out there anymore that do, that are Christians, that are trying to rule and not lead by constraint, telling their congregation that they could lose their salvation. Fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. If we would preach fear from this pulpit, it wouldn't be of God. It wouldn't be. We want to preach His perfect love. And that says, and it assures me, that it casts out all fear. But not by constraint or being lords over them. I cannot force you, nor would I want to force you, because God doesn't force you to love Him. He comes at you and He says, here's what I have. Do you want me? And it's everything and it's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. I appreciate my aunt sitting back there. You heard Brother Hill say many times, the Lord will never force you to do anything. He'll only make you wish you did it. It's true. I like to feel right, hallelujah, by His grace. I hate to use the word feel, but to where I know I'm in the will of God, that I'm in the center of His will and I'm safely hiding. It's not sometimes a popular walk. Sometimes it's not a very comfortable place, in a sense, naturally speaking, to be in the center of God's will, is it? But it's the most comforting spiritually. It's where I can be and know that the love of God is abounding in my life. And I know there's treasure for me someday that I can't even imagine. He promised that by the grace of God, He's going to let them know that He loves me. Hallelujah. He tells me I'm an heir. Oh, hallelujah. I'm an heir right now and a joint heir if I'll just tarry just a little bit while longer. Huh? Realize it's but a moment to suffer with Him. Hallelujah. What a privilege. And that's what Christ is inviting us into. Thank you, Lord. But again, we don't do it for money's sake either. But we do it willingly, with love of a ready mind, to be an example to the flock. I wrote down that by His grace, I truly do pray that His love growing in me, that His faith abounding in me, would inspire and encourage those around me to run the race. That's what I pray. I do. I want to be a light. I want to be an example of the things of God. The greatest example I could be to the people of God is not necessarily to be the most honest person, the most this, the most that, and all of these different things, is to have the most love. When I have the love of God running through my life, it's going to create those other things in my life. It's going to fulfill. It's going to make me like Christ. It's going to bring me from glory to glory. It's going to keep me from things. Sure, there's going to be temptation around me, but by the grace of God, I pray, and I know that my brothers and sisters pray for me as well too, that I don't have to be in the evil of it. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Amen. And I wanted you to know too that it's mutual, that we are of the same body, and that your faith and your love too is the greatest encouragement to me. It truly is. I was speaking with a sister here earlier today, and she said, well, you don't really have time. And I said, no, I wanted to call you back. I said, believe it or not, you encourage me, and I know you're going to inspire some things. And I wasn't just fluffing it. I said, truthfully, you'll inspire things for me tonight. I know that the Lord told me to call you, that you'll bless me in speaking with you tonight. And she was just kind of dumbfounded in that. I said, we're of the same body. I said, we need to encourage one another in the things of God. I said, what a precious thing that we can do that and run together. But going on, it says, considering the way or the manner of life, and take note of the high calling saints. If there ever was a hero that you would mark in your life, I would pray that it would be the ones around you that truly are running for God's best. The older I've become, and I think the more mature in the things of God, I realize it's those of love and faith that are the ones that I want to mark around me and say they've got it. It's not the ones with a lot of money. It's not the ones that are the most popular in the things of this world. Often it's the ones that really don't have very much. Often it's the ones that aren't very popular. The world just kind of passes them by and thinks nothing of them. As I remind my kids when they're talking to those certain ones, I said, do you realize this is the aristocracy of the universe that you're touching right now? I'm not just saying that. I'm in awe. I'm in awe to be speaking before not just priests and kings, but potentially joint heirs of forever. Now, do you think that there's a responsibility here? Oh, hallelujah, there's a responsibility. And I'm accountable to God. You know, these churches, they have boards and different things, and they say, oh, those are some mighty people. I'm accountable to God. And I'm accountable to God for some of the greatest sheep that will ever come before Him. Pray for your pastor. That's all I can tell you. So, amen. I appreciate you, brother. You know it. So, but He's faithful, so don't despair. Put your confidence in Him. Like I say, it ain't in a man. But the faith, the all-pleasing character trait of the bride is the ones to watch for. To follow Him, treasure Him, watch the walk, rejoice in the inheritance together with Him. All right. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, yes. Such a wonderful verse growing up. I can't think how many thousands of times Mom would encourage me with that. Brother Hill, the saints here, but unto every age, he's the same, isn't he? Hallelujah. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, still the same. See, those Old Testament brothers and sisters, they just looked forward to Christ coming, didn't they? They did. They're still saved by the blood. Don't think it was any other way. Oh, they had to keep the Ten Commandments back there. Come on now. They'd all been toastified. They all would have been Nadab and Abihu, wouldn't they? We wouldn't have been. There wouldn't have been anybody left. Huh, brother? Amen. But they looked forward to the coming of the Lord. And they were looking to that blood. Hallelujah. Just like we look back and it's the same Jesus. And I'm so thankful that we have a consistency in our life. Because I think how things are so inconsistent in life. There's really nothing you can really depend on. The Word of God even tells us not to put our confidence in man whose breath is in his nostril, doesn't it? See, we always get disappointed. If you hang around somebody long enough, you'll always be disappointed. Okay, talk to my wife. And in a way, it's true. But I think, see, the love of God can overcome that. And there's a sweetness that is developed there, too. Amen? Amen. All right. But see, he's consistent, unlike us. Jesus, the same listener. You know, sometimes you feel like listening. Sometimes it's like, man, I can't listen no more. And I'm done, you know, or something like that. And, you know, you just start saying yes. Your kids come up to you. Well, Dad, my 12-year-old, can I take the car? Yeah, go ahead. You know, can I do that? You know, because you're not listening anymore. But Jesus never stops, does he? Hallelujah. He always listening. Oh, I appreciate him. He always forgives, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Always. And even forgets. A lot of people don't even realize that. He didn't just forgive you, he forgot it. Praise God. And he's the same consistent lover of my soul. Always. Again and again, I just think of that wonderful prodigal son. He was always waiting for that son to return. That's your Jesus. But why waste it? I have to tell you, heavy on my heart, there's many here I know that are going through some hard times. Really. But it's a choice. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You can't serve both God and mammon. It doesn't work. And see, the problem is we talk about, and it's so wonderful, the glory in, God is always infinite mercy. He is. He's infinite grace. He is always there for you. He will always forgive you. He will always comfort you. He will always, always, and never forsake you. But you can waste parts of your life. And don't think you can't. And that's the thing the Lord has so impressed upon my heart the last few weeks and given messages to this congregation, to myself. Don't waste your life. Let the beauty of the Lord work in every bit of your life. What do you think all on the altar means? I don't want to be hiding back pieces of my life. I don't want to think that I can go in and out of the promise all the time. It doesn't work that way. Promise is something that's cherished. It's treasured. It's got to be real and living and thriving. It's in me. It's in my new creation. That's who I am. When I don't yield to that, when I don't live to that, I'm living a lie. I'm wasting my life. And unfortunately, in this life, as humans, we have consequences. And there's things we're going to have to deal with. Sure, he is the God of all mercy. The God of all comfort. But I want it all. I do. I want him all throughout my life. And it can start today with you all. With every one of us. It can start today. I don't care the mess. I don't care the pulling. I don't care what's out there that you think you have to have. You have Jesus. If you're a son of God today, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you have Jesus Christ. And he is pulling at your life. And you can't deny that. You cannot deny it. Now, you can choose to go the other way. But it's a waste. It's a famine out there. It truly is. And it will only rob you. And it's just like we talk about. It's a moment. This life is but a moment. It's going to pass you by. The judgment is now. Do you understand that? He's judging you for a reward. You get to heaven, there's not going to be any more tears or sorrow. Okay? Don't let him tell you, well, you're going to be standing up there before God and you're going to have to sit there and say, oh, yeah, God, I remember when I did that and I did this. No. It's not going to work that way. Even for the sinner, it ain't going to work that way. They just say, you ain't here. Okay, I don't even want to think about that. But there's a time, and that time's now. And I look at the beauty that God can put in people's lives. I look at the ones that are truly living by grace, the life of Christ. I look at the young people in the meeting. I look at the young marrieds in the meeting. I look at the ones with their families that are putting God first. There's fruit there. It's going to pass you by. It's going to pass you by. And the judgment is sorrowful. It really is. It's an emptiness. Because you're going to look back because it goes so quick. And you're going to say, I missed it. Solomon missed it. He said, oh, vanity of vanities. And he had it all. He had every worldly possession you could imagine. He had the finest palaces. He had the most beautiful wives. He had servants. He had more gold than anybody. And he looked back and he said, I missed it. My father David got it all. I missed it. I don't want to be there. I want to see it in my family. You know what I'm saying? I want to see it in my kids. I do. I want to see it there. I appreciate these brothers and sisters praying for their children. I love it. I want to see it everywhere in my life by the grace of God. And He wants it there too. I don't mean to get off on that, but there's something pulling on me here, and I believe the Lord wants us to rejoice on that. Praise you, Jesus. At this time, in the time that we're in, there's going to be those that mock the Lord. I was thinking last night, my mom called me. There was a show on TV, I guess. She said, oh, they're going to talk about heaven. Is there a heaven? I said, well, who's going to talk about it? And they said, oh, so-and-so. And I said, well, that'd be like asking my hamster if I needed heart surgery.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
It's true. Well, I wouldn't do that now. I want to know about the things of God. And only people that, by the grace of God, that would know that. And I hope that they had something. I heard they had a Christian man on there. So wonderful. But they're saying he's been gone a long time. I think it's more of a mockery than anything. They won't preach creation in our schools. Not going to do that. Your God's been gone so long. Don't wear down. Stay with the stuff, huh? He's coming back. Oh, hallelujah, He's coming back. And you know, by the grace of God, I want to meet Him in the air. And then when He comes back to take care of that, I'm going to be with Him. Oh, there's a cloud that's with Him, hallelujah. You read there in Revelation, I think of Jesus, Terry, we're going to get into that book here shortly, and we're going to rejoice in that. And I'm looking forward to ruling and reigning with Him. How about you? There's some neat perks and benefits with Jesus, I'll tell you. I have to admit, I kind of float away from that love stuff. And I think, man, Lord, I'm really coming back here with you, aren't I? We're going to clean up on some of this? You're really going to make them bow down and let them know that you love me? I love Him. I love Him. Thank you. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Let's turn there. Oh, Jesus. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Stay with the stuff. The tradition that we have is not tradition of fathers or families or anything like that. It's word and epistle. And I appreciate that he brings out their epistle, Paul's epistles. I love that. That's what we're to stay by the grace of God. That's our love. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he only gets greater. He only gets better. Today is the day of your salvation. Brother James is just now coming to me. He was asking me about, well, what about that salvation is new every day? Today is the day of your salvation. Now, if that ain't new to you and in your heart, get down on your knees and ask him, Lord, explain to me why my salvation is new every day. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is so new every day. If you're not learning from him every day, rejoicing in him every day, I just don't know. I rejoice in my kids every day most of the time. My little one's been giving us a trial, but other than that, my wife, the same way and all that. When you really love somebody and you really love to be around them, you rejoice in them. There's a newness in that love every day. Hallelujah. It's a precious thing. Now, how much more your Savior? From glory to glory. I'm telling you, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. All right. Verse 9. Be not carried about with different and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So there are many false doctrines out there, and we know that. There's a whole bunch of counterfeits. But by the grace of God, it's just like those that study the money, the greatest counterfeit detectives in the world. They don't study all the counterfeits. They can't. There's so many of them, and they're all new ones all the time. What they do, and I know Officer Rivera. Oh, I got that out. Ossifer. Sorry. Okay. Officer. All right. My brother. I love him. I have to tease him sometimes. But he got me with a taser. I owe him. Never mind. All right. But I was dumb enough to lay there and let him put it on me. Oh, you got to do it. That's another story I'll tell you someday. Your pastor's not very smart, but never mind. All right. I just want to be in Jesus. Hallelujah. But they know the original. They study the original. You heard our pastor, Brother Hill, say that so many times. They're not studying all these different things. They just know the original so well that when they hear something, or I kind of jumped that, but when they see something, they know it right away, don't they? Same way with the Word of God, isn't it? Hallelujah. I was speaking with a brother that's been in the meeting and I know is starting to really run for the deeper things of God. And it was precious. He was saying, you know, I don't know a lot about the Word and I feel so inadequate. And I said, well, brother, keep feeling that way. I do too. And I think he wants to take us that way all the way to the throne. That's the humility that you have in Christ. Never think you know it all. If you know it all, you got a problem. Big problem, and it's you. And you need to get on your knees and you need to ask the Lord to come in for you is what you need. But he was saying, you know, brother, I like listening to the radio and the different ones and I get encouraged. But, you know, this guy said such and such on the radio and that's not right, is it? And I said, brother, you're right. That's not right. See, the Lord protects his children. He that wills to know is going to know. He's not going to forsake you. But don't be lazy with the things of God either. Don't be slothful. Study to show thyself approved unto the Lord, huh? That's what we're here to do tonight. To rightly divide the truth. To get into the Scriptures, hallelujah. To be a workman that's not ashamed. That we can go out and, by the grace of God, give out the Word of God in boldness and in strength. Have you ever had a time when you were visiting with someone and, I wish I had that Scripture. I know that's wrong. But Lord, I don't know that verse. You know, it's like that. And we all get there. And really, I'm not trying to say this, but don't feel bad about that. Be encouraged with the Lord to go get the Scripture so that you can, by the grace of God, the sword is always sharp. You'll hear people say, oh, my sword's dull. That sword is never dull. It's never dull. It's the wielder of the sword. Okay? I want to be, by the grace of God, someone that can give out the Word of God in boldness and truth. But most importantly, in love. To be able to stand and withstand. And you're going to be fighting the good fight of faith when we're out there by the grace of God. Just your life. It's not even speaking. Just even your actions, what you do every day in your work. People are going to know, believe it or not, they're going to know that you're a Christian. You just live a Christian life. You don't need to be hauling around your Bible or anything like that. Don't have to have a Jesus sticker on your car. You're marked. You're a target. Oh, yes, you are. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, separated. Amen. We're separated unto Him. But we're going to talk about a real sanctification, a separation this evening, Lord willing, if we get there. All right. I'm kind of getting off there just a bit. But again, there are many false doctrines out there. But Paul's doctrine, hallelujah, the Word of God tells us, is the real thing. It's the gospel of grace. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 16 through 18. Now it says there, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. This is Peter speaking. And just think again, this is wonderful Peter who is with Jesus. And lovest thou me more than these? Oh yes, three times and all that and all these wonderful things. But look at the observation and the humility and humbleness that Peter comes to. I so appreciate this. Speaking in some of these things, he says, in which Paul, this brother Paul we have here, which are some things hard to be understood. Paul's saying some tough things here, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. See, when we wrestle with the scripture, when we don't believe the word of God, when we don't understand it's in the blood and it's by his grace, you are wrestling with the scripture. Amen. Do you understand that? And what does it say it's going to do to you? It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you. It's grace. We're going to read it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. We grow in grace. It's all by grace. It started, it continues, and it's going to end. Hallelujah, by the grace of God, and continue to go on forever because of His grace. Which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also... Come on now, see, you don't just get complacent about it and say, oh, well, I see the bride and I know the truth. I go to living waters. I'm just fine every day. No, no, no. It's got to be real by the grace of God. It's in the grace of God. It's Him leading you every day, loving, worship, all of those things. Lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. And that's when you're always going to fall, is from your own steadfastness. But what? But grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's grace, isn't it? Clear, evident, that will lead us into God's best. It's just too wonderful. You've heard me say it again the last few times we've been together. There's old Bill Gates, his mighty man of money. Got so much money, doesn't even know what to do with it. Keeps giving it away, and yet it keeps coming up. It'd be as silly as me going up to him and saying, man, I'll tell you what, I'm so talented, I'm so pretty, I'm so whatever it is, that you should pay me X amount of dollars because I'm going to earn all your money. About that time, the police would show up and take you away. Really, honestly. How much more your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The one who owns it all. It's all His. The Creator of everything. How could I earn it? A bit of that. That speaks to me. That really does. It makes sense to this little mind. Well, Lord, you know what? It is a free gift. Hallelujah. It is unmerited. And it's mine. And He says, come take of me. Take it. Hallelujah. Amen. And come what? Boldly. Not sheepishly. Come boldly. It's a throne of grace. Come get your mercy. Come get your grace. Be a needy person. And I'll tell you what, I'll fill you up. That's what Jesus Christ does. See, it's all in His Son. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue going to confess that He is Lord. We can sit here and we can think that, you know, this guy's crazy up here saying what he's saying and all that. If you believe that this is the divine Word of God. Now, I'm just going to say this, okay? This is God's Word. This is your answer. Everything by the grace of God that we're talking about tonight is from this. That's it. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord. The riches are in Him. You truly are wasting your life apart from God. It is. You know, a lot of people hear me say that. I say, well, what does that really mean? What do I have to do? You see, that's the first thing we ask, isn't it? What do I have to do? How can I earn this thing? It's believing, isn't it? And it's peace. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest Christians I've ever met are different ones that truly aren't able to come to church all the time. Can you imagine that? Huh? It's the state of the heart. Now, I'm not encouraging you not to come to church all the time. I hope if you have the ability to come in, it says the much the more as we see the day approaching. Get together. I love to get together. I love it more and more all the time because I realize the strength and the love that we get. Hallelujah. The encouragement. What an honor and a privilege. But there are many of our brothers and sisters, again, to pray for that are outside of this meeting that would love to be here that are truly some of the greatest runners I've ever met. Grace, grace, grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But again, He's going to finish it. Praise God. Once Christ came and completed and finished it, God could no longer accept the tabernacle worship. Jesus is the great high priest. He is the sacrifice and the way. Let's go on to verse 10. I'd like to keep going here for a little bit. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. This goes on to confirm it, that the ceremony was gone. Now we're going back again, kind of flashing a little bit back here in Hebrew, is that, remember, these are saved Jews that Paul's speaking to here. They're still caught up in the tradition that they came out of their fathers and all, where they were in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and they went through the sacrifice and all of those different things. They may have been still abstaining from meats. They may have been keeping days. All of these different things. The Lord Jesus Christ came. That was all gone. I have fulfilled everything. I am the sacrifice. There's no more need to do it. You're insulting me. Truly insulting me by not giving it to my Son. Hallelujah. That's our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These were wonderful types and shadows. They were wonderful things. That tabernacle in the wilderness was a wonderful thing because it all pointed to Jesus' coming, didn't it? But it was only a painting. And I appreciate that. A painting or a picture is a wonderful thing, and maybe we'll call it a picture, is a wonderful thing. But it's still not the real thing, is it? It's a photo. But once you got the real thing, it's just awesome, isn't it? I always remember seeing the Grand Canyon in photos when I was a kid. I thought, oh, that's great. You know, that's really great. When I stood on the rim of that thing, I was like, oh, my. How can you explain the immense, the expanse, the depth, the height, the beauty? Everywhere you look, as that sun comes across the sky, it looks like you're looking at something different all day long, isn't it? Could you explain it to me? I couldn't. I couldn't explain it to you. Now we're talking about something so far beyond that. And He just created that with, I don't even know if He even thought about it. It just happened. Huh? Oh, hallelujah. What's that bride going to be? Praise His name. But see, none of that had salvation. The blood is what the salvation's in. It's Jesus. The true worshiper is spirit and truth. Those with the word, the worship and the love that come boldly by the grace of God to the throne. We understand that it's all in Him. It's those that desire to still be under the law. They're never going to have the benefits of the altar. Do you understand that? It's true. If you're desiring to put your life under law, under accountability of yourself, you're never going to have the real privilege of being free in the altar. You're not. It's grace. It's the free gift. It's the love, hallelujah, that He has put into my heart that by the grace of God, I can give back to Him. That's the only way I can even adequately love Him. Because He first loved me. Amen. You know, I have to tell you, I marvel as I read through this. How could we ever think? Now, again, I know it's by His grace, but how could we ever think in reading the Word of God that we could merit anything in ourselves? I am so disappointed with my flesh. I don't know about you. That I am so thankful that there isn't any meriting in that flesh. How about you? I mean it. That's the awesome God we serve. Because if I knew that I could earn anything in my flesh, there's something wrong with this program. What do you think about that? Really? Hallelujah. I truly trust Him for that. Praise God. I'd like to go ahead and just finish 11 and 12 because it's with the same thought here. It says, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." This quickly is referring to Leviticus. You might write this down. We won't turn there. But Leviticus 4:21 and 16:27. See, the carcasses of the sin offering were burned outside the camp. And this is so significant. Because, see, the lepers, when these children were in the wilderness and they were going, when they had the lepers, they were always brought outside of the camp. The criminals were always brought and either executed or in exile outside of the camp. Anything of filth was always brought outside of the camp. And I want you to understand, especially at this time, I think of that baby Jesus that came to this wonderful earth that God created, but that wonderful Savior that came to this earth, the I Am, the Son of God, took that place outside the camp. He became that filth. Do you understand that? The humiliation that He was made curse for us, despised, rejected, even God Himself turned away. Even God Himself. Utterly alone for the joy that was set before Him. For the joy that was set before Him. You don't think you have something to be thankful for this Christmas? Shame on you. Shame on me. I'm sitting here today thinking, oh no, well, my poor life, or I've got this problem. Shame on us. And I mean it. Know who you are. Know who loves you. By the grace of God, let the Lord inspire you to understand and encourage your heart to know just a bit what was going on that cross that day. Huh? But He saw me. Can you imagine He saw you, brother? Each and every one of you, He saw you. That thrills me. That thrills me. But He went out of that camp. We're going to close with that verse, but in the 13th, He's encouraging us to go without that camp. As you said, He has separated us. But by the grace of God, we can even go on to a better place. And there is a better place. Apollos, he was a man that had a lot of zeal for the Lord, didn't he? But old Priscilla and Aquila came to him and showed him a more perfect way. There's a more perfect way. And it's in grace. Amen. And it's in knowledge. And it's in the wonderful love of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He's calling us tonight and He's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. See, it's in solitude with Christ is where that communion of love really begins, isn't it? Hallelujah. When somebody's going to really speak to you and propose to you, you ladies, I mean, I know this world's kind of different now, but when I was going to tell my wife the different things about how I loved her, my wife-to-be, I should say, it was alone. It was tenderly. And that's how the Lord captivates your heart. It's away from the camp. There's a more perfect way. And thank you, Jesus, that you're calling us into it. So, so precious. Don't miss it. Oh, don't miss it. Lord, don't let me miss your best. I appreciated Brother Copley. I could see him. What if I'd have missed it? Well, Brother Copley, I can understand that. What if I'd have missed it? But at the same time, Lord, don't let me miss it. You've given us a vision. Brother, you got a vision. You know it. Each one of us, by the grace of God, He's given us that vision. He's counted you worthy to hear these things. You're sitting here tonight. It's not an accident. He has counted us worthy to hear the mystery of Christ. The high calling of the ages. Don't neglect so great salvation. I appreciate this Hebrews. It's better, it's better, and it's better, isn't it? Praise God, He's called us into that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just again thank You for being here. We thank You that we are in the presence of Your wonderful Father and in the presence of You this evening. And Lord, we thank You for the Holy Spirit, that He's the only one that can come and really shed this love message abroad in our heart. Thank You for making it real, Lord. We thank You for these people that love You. It always amazes me, Lord Jesus, to think that there's people that would come to really get to know You on a weeknight in this world. Can you imagine that? We're privileged, Lord. Just continue to draw hearts, those that weren't with us tonight, Lord, that would maybe be here in this tape. Just encourage them. Encourage them to come. Encourage them to worship You. What an honor. We just thank You again for loving us like You do. In Jesus' name, amen.